while McMurphy laughs, rocking farther and farther backward against the cabin top, spreading his laugh out across the water, laughing at the girl, at the guys, at George, at me sucking my bleeding thumb, at the captain back at the pier and the bicycle rider, and the service station guys, and the 5,000 houses, and the big nurse, and all of it. Because he knows you have to laugh at the things that hurt you just to keep yourself in balance, just to keep the world from running you plumb crazy. He knows there's a painful side. He knows my thumb smarts and his girlfriend has a bruised breast and the doctor is losing his glasses. But he won't let the pain blot out the humor no more than he'll let the humor blot out the pain. I notice Harding is collapsing beside McMurphy and is laughing too. And Scanlon from the bottom of the boat. At their own selves as well as at the rest of us. And the girl, with her eyes still smarting as she looks from her white breast to her red one, she starts laughing. And Seafelt, and the doctor, and all. It started slow and pumped itself full, swelling the men bigger and bigger. I watched, part of them, laughing with them, and somehow not with them. I was off the boat, blown up off the water and skating the wind with those black birds high above myself, and I could look down and see myself and the rest of the guys, see the boat rocking there in the middle of those diving birds, see McMurphy surrounded by his dozen people, and watch them, us, swinging a laughter that rang out on the water in ever-widening circles, farther and farther, until it crashed up on beaches all over the coast, on beaches all over all coasts, in wave after wave after wave. The doctor had hooked something off the bottom on the deep pole, and everybody else on board except George had caught and landed a fish by the time he lifted it up to where we could even see it. Just a whitish shape appearing, then diving for the bottom in spite of everything the doctor tried to do to hold it. As soon as he'd get it up near the top, lifting and reeling it with tight, stubborn little grunts and refusing any help the guys might offer, it would see light and down it would go. George didn't bother starting the boat again, but came down to show us how to clean the fish over the side and rip the gills out so the meat would stay sweeter. McMurphy tied a chunk of meat to each end of a 4-foot string, tossed it in the air, and sent two squawking birds wheeling off, till death do them part. The whole back of the boat and most of the people in it were dappled with red and silver. Some of us took our shirts off and dipped them over the side and tried to clean them. We fiddled around this way, fishing a little, drinking the other case of beer, and feeding the birds till afternoon, while the boat rolled lazily around the swells and the doctor worked with his monster from the deep. A wind came up and broke the sea into green and silver chunks, like a field of glass and chrome, and the boat began to rock and pitch about more.